So with the permission of the Vaishnavas, we'll talk about Snan Yatra and the appearance of Sri Jagannath. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakanamayam Dadati Svaparandigam Aradhanastrinandantai Ridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevasha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama. So last night I was searching in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita to see any pastimes of Lord Chaitanya with in relation to Snan Yatra. The only thing I can find is Lord Chaitanya saw the Snan Yatra with great happiness in his heart. That's about all there is in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Snan Yatra. So we'll talk about the appearance of Lord Jagannath, because Snan Yatra means that is the appearance. When we install some deity, the first thing we do is perform Abhishek. Then the deity is installed. So this is the appearance day of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra and Baladeva. So there's two histories, so we'll describe both histories. One is the more general and one is more esoteric. So, way back in Satyug, there was a very great king in Avantipur, which is now known as Ujjain, where our Bhakti Churu Maharaj has built a huge white marble temple to Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. And beautiful deity of Sandipani Muni is also there. And he and his wife Gundicha, they were very great devotees of the Lord. Even though he was a king, he was very much interested in the service of the Lord. He was always engaged. He had a huge temple there. He was always engaged in the service of the Lord. And he was always anxious to get the mercy of the Lord. And whatever travelers came through, he would always supply them with nice place to stay in the campus of the area of the temple, of the area of his kingdom. So one time, he was always praying that he wanted to get the mercy of the Lord, that he could go back to home, back to Godhead, leave this material. They had so much opulence. Generally, we have so much opulence, and we think, well, we'll take up Krishna consciousness later, now we'll just enjoy. But he was not at all attached. He was completely dedicated to the service of the Lord. He wanted to leave this nasty material world and go back to Godhead. So one time some travelers came, and one of his ministers overheard them talking that they had seen in the eastern, they didn't know where even, somewhere along the way they had seen in their travels this incredible deity of Nila Madhav. And they were describing the glories of Nila Madhav. Anyone who takes his darshan will never return to this material world of birth and death. So the minister heard that. He knew the king was a great devotee. So he told the king's priest, Vidyapati, all about this situation. Vidyapati immediately went to the king and said, some visitors have come. They know there's a deity called Nila Madhav. Beautiful forearm deity of Nila Madhav. Just by taking darshan of him, one will not take birth again in this material world. So the king, he wanted to know where this deity was, so he immediately sent Vidyapati back. Vidyapati told the minister. But by that time, the travelers had traveled on their way. But being very anxious to receive the mercy of the Lord, King Indranunda, he gathered all his best ministers and his best priests, Vidyapati, together. And he told them, you have to go in the four directions, east, west, north, and south. Because Avantipur is more or less in the middle of India. And you must find out this deity of Nilamadav. I give you 3 months' time. So all of them set out. Vidyapati, he went east. As he was, when he reached the shore of the ocean, he found a very beautiful village. So idyllic, so green and so beautiful and so clean. And the ruler of that village was a Sabara, pig farmer, named Biswavasu. And Biswavasu saw this pandit has come, immediately gave him, he said, you may stay in our village and bless us. Now you please stay here for some time and relish the peaceful atmosphere that we're enjoying here. And we're all just like you, we're all Vaishnavas here, we all worship the Lord. So even though he was a very low class, Sabara pig farmer means very low class, but he was a great Vaishnava. So, and he had a very, very beautiful daughter named Lalita. So he told Lalita, you see to the needs of this traveler. So he was staying there in this house, and every day he saw that Biswavasu would go out in early in the morning and return late in the evening. And when he returned, the whole house would be filled with this divine fragrance. He couldn't understand how in this pig farmer, what is he doing? He must be doing some worship. And of some deity somewhere. And he, always this divine fragrance is there when he returns home. Like, never smelled such a celestial fragrance in his life. So he stayed there for some time, and Lalita was serving him very nicely. They took up a friendship. And gradually that friendship became a little serious. So even though he had a Brahmin wife back in Avantipur, he went to Biswavasu and begged him to give his daughter to him in marriage. So Biswavasu was greatly honored. Such a great soul. Will marry my daughter. I have such a wonderful son-in-law. So Lalita and Biswavasu were married together. So every day he was just bewildered and bewildered. Every time he goes off in the morning, comes back late at night, and he's got this wonderful fragrance. And he was always pestering Lalita to tell him about it. But Lalita said, no, I can't tell you. Finally he said, look, now we're married. You're my other half. How can you keep a secret? One half keeps secret from the other half. He said, no, I've sworn to secrecy by my father, but I'm your husband. I want to know. He said, all right, I'll tell you, but you can't tell anyone. He said, in the forest, there's a wonderful deity of Nilamadav. And every day my father goes to worship him, and that's why you smell this wonderful fragrance. But he's afraid someone may take this deity away, so he doesn't want anybody to know. So for a couple of days, Vidyapati was thinking about this. And then he realized, she said Nilamadav. The deity's name is Nilamadav. Then he realized, this is that Nilamadav that I came to find. So he told his wife, you have to convince your father to let me go. He said, no, I can never do such a thing. No, you're my wife, you have to. So being an obedient wife, she approached her father. Father was a little wary at first. He said, but he's my husband, he should know. If you don't, if you don't let him go, then I'll take poison and die. So Prabhupada said, these are the secret weapons of the woman. If you don't do it, then I'll die. So he said, all right, he can come, but I will take him only blindfolded. I will only take him blindfolded. So Vidyapati agreed, but his wife was very clever. She said, you take some mustard seeds, because now is the rainy season, you drop them along the path, and if in a couple of months those mustard seeds will sprout, bright yellow flowers will mark the path. So they went on a bullock cart, and along the way Vidyapati was dropping mustard seeds here and there, without, very carefully, without Biswavasu knowing. And they went, he was completely with a black blindfold. He had no idea where he was going. Just he could feel they were going this way and that way and this way and that very, very curved path. Finally, they reached the mountain, and then he could feel they were going up. When they reached the top of the mountain, then he felt some ecstatic symptoms appearing in his body. And Visvavasu opened the blindfold, and he saw this beautiful forearm deity of Nila Madhav. And he was so amazed. And he sat there doing his bhajan, and Visvavasu went off to collect some herbs and roots and fruits to offer to his deity, and he did his puja very nicely with chandan and so many wonderful scents and so many natural flowers from the forest. Then he blindfolded Vidyapati again and took him back by this winding down the mountain and then down this winding path back to his home. So then Vidyapati told his wife, he's so beautiful, you can't imagine. So amazing, deity. Actually, my king has sent me to find this deity because he wants to get his darshan. So I will go and get him. So then Vidyapati slipped off and went to get back to Avantipur. And he told Indradumna Maharaj that he had found the deity. This was after more than 6 months. All the others had returned after 3 months, but Vidyapati had never returned. The king was very worried. Then finally Vidyapati showed up. Everyone was very happy. So the king said, all right, if Nila Madhav is there, then I will move my whole kingdom. He packed up everything, all his ministers and family and everything. And they traveled all the way from Avantipur across the entire India to the Orissa. But when they got there, there's many versions of the story, but this story is taken from Skanda Puran. When he got there, the whole village and everything was covered completely by sand. There had been a huge storm. Even the hill was covered by sand. Everything was covered by sand. And Visvavasu was very upset. He said, Nila Madhav is no longer there. And the king was in great despair. He was ready to give up his life. Then there was a voice from the sky. He said, no longer will I be visible in this world as Nila Madhav. It's not possible now. But fear not, I will appear in this world as Daru Brahman, God in the form of wood. And you will get some carpenters to carve four deities, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and Sudarshan. And then I will be worshipped in this form in this world, and grant everyone my merciful darshan in this way. And I will appear, he told him, now or that place is now known in Puri, known as Chakratirth. He said, I will appear at that place on the Bay of Bengal. So you wait for me. First you build a huge temple for me, and then you wait for me to arrive. Then before I arrive, Brahma will come and take you to Vaikuntha, where you will get my darshan. So Indradumna Maharaj built this grand temple on the shore of the ocean. And then Lord Brahma appeared and took Indradumna Maharaj up to Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha he saw the form of the Lord. He was so astounded at the beauty, beautiful cloth and golden ornaments and jewels and incredible effulgence. And he bowed before the Lord, and the Lord said, I am pleased by your devotion. Therefore I want to be worshipped by you, but in a new form. Previously, when the voice had appeared that I will no longer appear in this world, but now I want to be worshipped in royal, he told Vidyapati, now I want to be worshipped in royal fashion by this King Indradumna. He is my dear devotee. So then when Brahma brought him back to the earth, eons had gone by. The temple had been covered by sand several times. It had become old and dilapidated. The king who was that present, everything had completely changed. And the present king renovated the temple and then told everyone he had created this temple. And then Indraduna Maharaj appeared, being brought back by Brahma, because Brahma's time is different. So whole eons had gone by in the earth. And the king asked Indraduna, "Who are you?" He said, I am the king. I created this temple." He said, "No, I created this temple." And then there was a crow, Kakabushundi, who had been there from millions of years, even from the time of Lord Ram, and had watched the whole scene. He said, "No, this king Indraduna, he's the real king. He has created this temple. He has built this temple. And it is a fact." So then the new king bowed to Indraduna Maharaj. And at that time, by some transcendental technology, Indraduna's wife was still there, Gundicha. Vidyapati came along with his two wives, and everybody was there. And they began to wait for the appearance of Daru Brahman. So one day, somebody reported that this huge reddish log has washed up on the shore of the beach. And everyone ran there, they saw this log, they tried to move it, and it was impossible to be moved. Then a heavenly voice told that only if you bring Bisvavasu, Vidyapati, and his good wives, only they can move me. Otherwise it's impossible to move me. So somehow, by the will of Lord Nilamada, Bisvasu somehow had remained. So they went and they brought him. And Bisvavasu and Vidyapati and his two queens, they pulled that log onto a golden chariot. The Lord has instructed you bring a golden chariot. Very easily, although nobody, even elephants, couldn't move it previously, they moved it very easily onto the golden chariot and brought it back. And beside the temple there was a great hall. So he put that Daru Brahman, Lord in the form of wood, in the hall. And then he offered all the carpenters of the kingdom that I will give you unlimited wealth if you can carve these deities. And everybody came from all around and everybody tried, but their chisels and everything just broke as soon as they touched the deity. Now the king was again very distressed. Nobody could carve it. Suddenly an old Brahman appeared. It was none other than Lord himself, but in disguise as an old Brahman. And he told King Indradumna, "I can carve the deities as you wish, but on one condition." He said, "What is that?" "That you lock the door and do not open it for 21 days. It will take me 21 days to carve the deities. You do not open the door for 21 days. So King Indradumna was desperate. He wanted the deities carved, so he agreed to the proposal of the carpenter. And every day he would hear the ching, 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 ching. After about 12 days, he didn't hear any sound coming from the hall. He became very worried. And he was, every day he would come and listen, but there was nothing. For a couple of days, there was nothing. On the 14th day, his wife told him that you must go and open up and see what's going on. He said, no, you must. So being pushed by his wife, then immediately he went and had the carpenters break the locks to the door. And they opened the door. The Brahman was gone and the deities were there in their unfinished form as we see them now. And then King Indraduna began to lament, "Oh, I'm a great offender. I didn't follow. Now the Lord is unfinished." Then suddenly a voice came from the sky again that, "No, I wish to be worshipped in this form as they are. I was the carpenter who carved them. Now you perform the Snan Yatra and install the deities in the temple as they are." So King Indraduna performed this great Snan Yatra. They brought 108 water pots from a special well in the temple compound, where it's said that all the sacred rivers stay inside that well. And with 108 gold and silver water pots, they performed the Abhishek and installed Lord Jagannath. So today is the appearance day of Lord Jagannath. Sri Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. So there's another story behind the strange forms of the Lord. That's somewhat mostly told in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by our Sanatana Goswami. In fact, before we go ahead, we have a beautiful stava by Sanatana Goswami glorifying Lord Jagannath. So now that Lord Jagannath has appeared, we did the appearance festival. This is taken from Sanatana Goswami's book, Krishna Lila Stava. This is called Sri Jagannath Stava. Sri Jagannath Niladri Siro Mukata Ratnahe Daru Brahman Ganashama Prasida Purushottama Prafula Pundari Kaksha Lavabdi Tatamrita Gutiko Daramam Pahi Mahaboga Purandara Nijadara Sudayain Indra Dumna Prasadita Subhadra Lala Vyagra Ramanuja Namostute Gundicha Ratyatradi Mahotsava Vivardana Bhaktavatsala Vandetvam Gundicha Ratamandanam Dinahina Mahanicha Dayardrikrita Manasa Nitya Nutana Mahatmya Darshin Chaitanya Ballabha. Sri Jagannath Swami Ki. Oh, and the voice, it also said that after you install me, then you perform Rath Yatra, because there was another temple that had been constructed by the wife. Indradumna's wife was Gundicha, so that temple is known as Gundicha. So you take me there for 12 days to that temple, then bring me back to the main temple. In this way, Rath Yatra, Tanan Yatra, Rath Yatra, everything was inaugurated. So one time, Narad Muni came to Dwarka. And at some point he met Satyabhama, Rukmini, all the different queens. And they began to tell Narad Muni that although we are the most beautiful women in the entire universe, and we are the wives of the Lord, somehow or other, we're never able to satisfy Him completely. We're never completely able to get Him completely under our control. But we know something strange always happens at night. In his sleep, he will call out, Lalita, Bishaka, Hey Radhe. Sometimes he calls out, Dama, Sri Dama, Sudama, Madhu. All the time at night. He talks about this. Sometimes he'll grab the edge of my cloth and he'll say, Oh Radhe, Oh Radhe. We do not know what type of spell these Brijbasis have over our husband, because he's not satisfied with us. He never calls out the night, Oh Satyabhama. He always calls out, Hey Radhe, Hey Lalita, Hey Vishaka. We don't know what this is all about. How can we understand this mystery? So Narad Muni says, only person who can explain this to you is Rohini. But this Krishna Leela is very, very confidential. So you should not let anyone else hear. So they called Rohini, and Rohini said, yes, this knowledge is very confidential. You post Subhadra at the door that nobody comes, especially Krishna or Balaram. If they hear this Leela, they will be unable to control themselves. So then Rohini began to explain all about the Braj Leela, all about the simple Brijbasis and their complete love. Rohini explained that your love is divided among you. Have each of you have 10 sons and one daughter and so many other family members. Your love is divided amongst all of them. But these gopis, they're only meditation day in and day night, no matter what they're doing, they're always completely surrendered to Krishna. Nobody's like them. They're so much intensely meditating on Krishna, they're seeing Him right before their very eyes. They're seeing Him right before their very eyes. And she began to go on and on and on, explaining how Krishna goes with the cowherd boys. He insists on going with all the cowherd boys and taking out the cows, and how he's wandering around barefoot. So here your Lord has always got slippers on, but in Brajlila he's wandering around barefoot. And Mother Yasoda was so upset, she tried to... Mother Yasoda loves Krishna so much, she said, "No, Lala, you're going to take the cows, then you have to go with shoes." So she gave him some wooden shoes. "And the sun will be very bright, sometime there'll be rain, you have to take umbrella." And Krishna said, And Maya, for my cows, you're going to give shoe and umbrella for my cows? Huh? And Mother Yasoda, "Re Lala, why should I give shoe and umbrella for your cows? You don't know Mother? You don't know Maya? Cow is very sacred." "Lala, cow may be very sacred, but why should I give shoe? You don't know Maya. Just like I live in the heart of all of my devotees, all the 33 crore demigods live within the body of the cow. She's very sacred." And Mother Yasoda, "Are Lala, where am I going to get?" Just imagine, Nanda Baba has 9 lakhs of cows, and each cow has 4 feet. So mathematician can figure out how many shoes we need. Huh? And cow can't carry umbrellas, so who's going to carry 9 lakhs of umbrellas for your cows? No. Then Lala said, "Then you keep the shoe and umbrella with you. If my cow is going barefoot, I'm going to go barefoot. If my cow is going without umbrella, then I will go out umbrella." So Krishna wandered all over this dust of Braj with his bare feet, therefore it's mixed with the lotus foot dust of Krishna. Meanwhile, Krishna was in his Sudharma hall, and being the all-knowing Supreme Personality of God, he knew something strange is going on in some room in the palace. So he told Baldao, "Something's going on." So meanwhile, so he came to the palace, and he came in the hallway, he saw Subhadra, all her arms had merged inside of her body, her eyes had become very big, she was just completely standing there with no feet, no arms, everything had withdrawn within her body. And because she was totally stunned, she couldn't stop them. So they also put their heads up against the door. She had her head leaned toward the door. So they began to listen, because then from the cowherd leela, she was talking about the leela, the pastimes of the gopis with Krishna and so many things, and hearing all these things, and suddenly Lord Jagannath, he also began to, all of his limbs withdrew within his body, his eyes became very big, his whole form changed completely. Everybody was, they were completely shocked, and they took these beautiful forms, like these very strange forms like this. And then gradually, somehow, they finally recovered from their state like that, and they opened the door, and they saw Narad Muni there. And said, "Oh, you must be the instigator behind all this." And Narad Muni is very clever. Lord knows that he's very clever. He said, "Narad Muni, but I'm very pleased by you. Whatever benediction you want, you may take." And Narad Muni said, "I know that you took a very special form just now. May that form always be visible, especially in this Kali Yuga, and give benediction to all the fallen souls of Kali Yuga." So the Lord said, "Tatastu." So this is how that the form that the carpenter had carved, this form had come about like this. So these are the two leelas of Lord Jagannath's appearance day to day. Meanwhile, it's also the appearance of Mukunda Datta. Disappearance of Mukunda Datta Prabhu. Mukunda Datta. So, near Chittagong, there's a place called Pundarik Vidyanidhidham. I've been there. And believe me, it is Vaikuntha on this earth. So beautiful place. And just next to it is the birthplace of Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta. And there's two Puspa Samadhis, or maybe real Samadhi, I can't remember now, that have been fixed up by the Bhaktivedanta Swami Charitable Trust. I saw that just next door to Pundarik Vidyanidhidham, these two monuments are there, samadhis. Very beautiful place. So Mukundadatta, he was very dear to all the devotees. He would always sing bhajans glorifying Lord Chaitanya. But before that, he was Lord Chaitanya's classmate when he was little Nimai. And Lord Chaitanya was a very precocious scholar, but he was very much into argument and defeating. Whereas Mukundadatta was a great Vaishnava and always discussing Krishna and always discussing Krishna Bhakti. And Nimai, he was just a very clever arguer. He would twist everything around. First he would establish some point. Then when he has defeated everybody's argument, then he'd turn around and defeat his point. And he'd always tease Mukundadatta. What are you doing with all this bhakti, bhakti, bhakti? This is useless. Then he would say so many things that Mukundadatta would finally have to run away. He couldn't bear to hear anything against the conclusion that bhakti is the ultimate goal of life. Mukundadatta was sure one day this fellow will become a Vaishnava. I will see it. So like that, Chaitanya Bhagavat goes on great length describing all the funny activities of Mukundadatta and Nimai and how Nimai is always teasing Mukundadatta. Later, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya and been turned into a Vaishnava by Ishwar Puri, then he understood the greatness of Mukundadatta. And then that's when Mukundadatta used to sing all beautiful bhajans and all the devotees were very happy with his association. But very interesting thing happened during the Mahaprakash Leela in Srivasangan. Mukundadatta was not allowed in the house. Mahaprabhu strictly forbid them from... And Mahaprabhu was glorifying all the devotees. He would bring one after another, one after another, one after another, and glorify their qualities. He glorified Advaita, he glorified Srivas, he glorified all the devotees. But nobody could understand why Mukundadatta is kept outside. So finally Srivas asks the Lord, why this Mukundadatta is not allowed? And the Lord said, you all think that he's a great devotee. In front of you, he's very devotional. And comes with straw in his teeth. But when he mixes with other sampradayas, then he comes and beats you with a stick. And devotees, they had no experience of Mukundadatta beating him with a stick. Then he said, Bhaktistani uhar hoila aparad, etike uhar hoila darsana bad. Because with the Mayavadis, he accepts their philosophy. In front of us, he's a Vaishnava, but in front of the Mayavadis, he accepts Mayavad philosophy, therefore he's beating us all with a stick. Therefore, due to this aparad, darshana, bad. He cannot get my darshan. So, because of this great aparad, he cannot get my darshan. So then, when Srivas told him this word from Mahaprabhu, then Mukundadatta began to cry, Na paibo, na paibo, I will not get darshan, I will not get darshan. He fell on the ground and began to cry. And then he asked, please ask the Lord when I will get darshan. So then he went back and asked the Lord Mukundadatta's question. Prabhu boli, Ar jodi koti janma hoilo, koti janma hoi, tabi mora darshan paibe, nishchay. Mahaprabhu said, after 10 million births, then nishchay, it is certain that he will get my darshan. As soon as Srivas told this to Mukundadatta, Mukundadatta began to dance and dance and dance and spin around, and he was just in joy. Oh, I will get his darshan. Koti means 10 million births. When Srivas told Mahaprabhu that he's dancing, and he's calling up, Paribo, Paribo, Paibo, Paibo, I will get the darshan. I will get the darshan even after 10 million births. Then Mahaprabhu said, all right, bring him in. And he came in and he fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu said, now you give up this Mayavad philosophy completely. And he promised to give up that. Then Mahaprabhu said, you will dance. I will dance on your tongue whenever you sing bhajan. You are the most dear. You have sing the most sweetest bhajans. I will dance on your tongue. And Mukunda Datta said, no, I'm a big aparadi. I was accepting anything, something other than bhakti. I seeing your glories, but not understanding your glories. I would just like Duryodhan. Duryodhan saw your universal form, still he couldn't accept you, so I'm like that. The Lord said, no. Just by your giving up that Mayavad philosophy and dancing in ecstasy, you have already passed over all those 10 million births. That's why I have brought you in. All those 10 million births have passed just by your accepting bhakti as supreme. So you always sing about Krishna, and I will dance on your tongue whenever you sing. So this is one of the most famous pastimes of Mukunda Datta. It's also disappearance day of Sridhar Pandit. So we never hear of him described as Sridhar Pandit, but this is our old friend Kolavecha Sridhar. And we also many, many leelas in Chaitanya Bhagavat, how Nimai, when he would come back from Kolavecha, means he was selling bananas and banana cups and banana, everything made from the banana tree he was selling. Banana, the fruit, the cups, the bark, all types of things like this. And these things are very cheap things. So Sridhar was very poor. But every day, Nimai would come and stop by his shop to buy bananas or leaf cups or so many things. And he'd always bargain, and Sridhar would cry because he would bargain him down so low, I can't even make any profit. I'm already not making any profit, you're making any less. Sometimes Nimai, he would just grab those things and run. He would grab his things and run. And he would warn him that you don't come tomorrow, you don't come tomorrow. But still every day Nimai would come, every day they had these wonderful pastimes, bargaining and bargaining, until the price was way below the cost price even. Sometimes Nimai would even steal the things. But Sridhar was relishing all these pastimes with the Lord. And Sridhar, Kolavecha Sridhar was so poor, his house was broken. But rather than spend money to repair the house when it rained and it leaked, he would just take an umbrella and sit inside his house and do bhajan. And all the pasandis, they were very envious of Sridhar. They thought, just see, this guy is doing bhajan. He's lost everything, he has no money. And all night long his belly is empty because he cannot feed his belly, so he's crying, hoodie, 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 hoodie. All night long he's crying like this. But Sridhar was in bliss. And even though he wasn't making any money, he didn't have money to fix the roof of his house, he was spending 50% of his income for the worship of Ganga. These things were going on like this. But Mahaprabhu told him, you're hiding. One day I will expose you. You're making yourself look like a very low-class, very poor person, but I know you have riches beyond measure. I will expose you one day. So that again, we go back to the Mahaprakash Leela. So then, Mahaprabhu called Sridhar. And he began to glorify Sridhar in so many ways, how this person is so poor, but he still spends 50% of his income on the worship of Ganga. And he's so devoted to the Lord, and he's so devoted to me. And he told Sridhar, that you have purchased me. So whatever opulence you want, now you take it from me. Sridhar said, no, I'm happy just the way I am. Only thing I want is that you never stop, that I always have devotion to your lotus feet, and you never stop coming to my shop. That's the only thing. And Mahaprabhu and the glory, just see this fellow, he has nothing. I'm offering him everything. Still he just wants devotion to my feet. and to remain in his poverty-stricken condition. So in this way, so many wonderful pastimes are there. And Sridhar and Radhakrishna, Gorgano Gesha Deepika, it says that Sridhar was previously a cowherd boy named Kusumava. And it also says that Mukunda Datta was, there was a singer in Krishna Lila, two singers, Madhukanta and Madhuvrata. But Madhuvrata took birth as his brother, Vasudev Datta, and Mukunda Datta was Madhukanta, who were famous, they were always singing in the cowherd pastimes of Krishna. So, these are the three things today, the Snan Yatra. Oh, water pot. I forgot the water pot pastime. All right. I know, I was figuring something. So the most famous pastime of Sridhar was one time after Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya and manifested Sankirtan Leela. He was taking the Kirtan party here and there and here and there every day. So one day the Kirtan party was going and everybody was dancing and singing. Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Hariharaya Nama Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana Giridhari Gopinath Madana Moha. So everybody was singing and dancing in ecstasy with Mahaprabhu, and suddenly Mahaprabhu changed off the path. He took a different path, very small path, and all the devotees were wondering, where is Mahaprabhu going? He came to the house of Sridhar. When he came to the house of Sridhar, he saw there was an iron pot. Iron is like fifth class. We're very proud of our stainless steel, but stainless steel is also iron. But iron is considered fifth class. And this was his only possession, was this iron pot. He was keeping his water in that pot. And he used that pot for everything, for drinking, for morning time things. He just washed it and used it for his morning, after his morning time duties, he washed it. And so it's a very low class thing. And Mahaprabhu is a very high class Brahmin, Nimai Pandit. So Mahaprabhu, he saw that pot. This is the pot of Sridhar, Kulavecha Sridhar. This is the water of a devotee. Immediately Mahaprabhu grabbed that pot and drank from that. Everybody was totally astounded. Mahaprabhu began to glorify. He quotes some beautiful verse from Padma Puran that by taking the water of the devotees, one gets Krishna Prem. It's very easy to get Krishna Prem. And all the devotees were astounded. And in the courtyard of Kulavecha Sridhar's place, everyone began dancing wildly. And Sridhar was mortified that Lord is drank from his low-class pot like that, but Lord was very happy and showed his mercy upon his devotee. Then the kirtan party went on. So Chaitanya Bhagavat says anybody who hears these pastimes will definitely get Krishna Bhakti. So is there any questions or comments?
What form was Leela Madhava?
He was some sort of forearm form, that's all I know.
Forearm?
Yeah. There is a deity now in the jungle somewhere. You want to tell about that deity?
In the village in Mandir, in Orissa, the street always drive from the mountain. There is a hill. And there are real other deities there. The deity only is two on form. But sometimes there are there, and there is no other two arms. And there is a constant flow of water spring on the feet of that deity, always on the top of the hill. So, foreigners are probably not allowed, but they are allowed for this.
Perhaps
in
the flute?
Is it? No, it's just a one-hand hand disc and one-hand hand concert. And we get pictures every day from the one-hand, but they, I think they don't allow foreigners. But they allow pictures, they allow foreigners. One small comment I want to add was the water pot of Kulavecha Sridhar, it was so rusty, it had patches in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's mentioned they're not even. It was
so beat up and old and patches and everything, even a thief wouldn't even think about stealing it. And Mahaprabhu drank from that pot just to be purified by the water of the
Supreme Person has taken water from this water.
So, when this period after Snan Yatra, we know the Lord becomes, they pour so much water, 108 pots of nice cold water, huge pots. So the Lord becomes sick. So Mahaprabhu used to go to Al-Alarnath, which is some kilometers away from Puri, and take darshan there of the Lord. He's definitely forearm form. Very beautiful. And the story they tell is that originally this temple was built by some, that actually this place is known as Brahmagiri because Lord Brahma did great penances there. And Lord told him that I will later appear as a beautiful forearm form there. But to build the latest temple, they called some pandas, some carvers, and sthapatis from South India who were in Ramanuja Sampradaya before Ramanuja appeared. They were followers of the Alwars. That's why this deity became known originally as Alwarnath. Still people call it Alwarnath. But more recently known as Al-Alarnath. Very beautiful deity is there called Al-Alarnath or Alwarnath. And they tell the story that there was one Brahmin, because gradually who was originally worshipping, the fan became quite big, and the lands that the king had given for the temple were taken up, wasn't able to satisfy the needs of all the families. So they took turns begging. So there was one Brahmin named Ketan, and it came his turn to go begging to support his family. So he had a little son, just now I can't remember his name, Madhu. So he told Madhu, now I have to go for 3 days, you do the offering. He said, but Pita, I don't know how to do the offering. I never did it, I don't know the mantras. No problem, you just put the plate there and you ask the Lord to kindly come and eat. So then Ketan went on his way. So Madhu's mother, she cooked and she made up the plate, and she called Madhu, you make the offering. So Madhu went there, he put the plate before Nila Madhav, what's the name of the deity? Alwarnath. And he told, my dear Lord, I'm just a little boy, I don't know the mantras, but please take this food. And then he went off to play with his friends for about 20 minutes. When he came back, he opened the curtain, the food was still there. And he prayed, but I know I'm just a little boy, I don't know how to do things properly, but you please accept. My father told me to offer to you, please accept. And then he went off to play for a few minutes, he came back, it was still there. Then he began to cry. He said, my father will get angry with me. He told me to offer and you're not taking. I'm just a little boy, you please take. So the Lord was so satisfied, when he came back next time, the food was gone. Then he brought the empty plate to his mother. Mother said, where's the prasad? He said, Lord ate it all. Lord ate it all? Yeah, he took it all. And mother was confused. So there was no food for the day. So they fasted. So next day, same thing happened. Again, he would pray to the Lord, you please take. And he would come back. It was still there. He said, but I'm just a little boy. I know I don't know the proper mantras and things, but you please take. So third day, there was again nothing left. Then Ketan came home and he asked his wife for some prasad. He said, there's nothing. And why there's nothing? I don't know. Madhu says every day Lord is taking everything. So Ketan became very angry. This boy must be eating everything. To see how selfish he is. Not saving anything for us. So he went to Madhu and began to chastise. He said, no, Lord is taking. He's a stone deity. How can a stone deity eat? What are you talking about, you nonsense? He said, no, but you told me, I just put the prayer plate there, I asked him to take, and he takes everything, there's nothing left. I'm not eating, I promise. All right, you show me. So they brought some nice pots of sweet rice, very hot sweet rice. And he said, I will hide here and watch. So then Madhu began to ring the bell and pray, I don't know the proper mantras or things, but somehow you eat. So the deity reached down and grabbed a pot of hot sweet rice. And immediately Ketan jumped out and before the Lord could put it in his mouth, he grabbed the hand, but he grabbed it in such a way, sweet rice splattered over the deity. And they don't allow foreigners, but if you go inside, They'll point out all the marks where the sweet rice burned the deity. And Ketan grabbed his hand. He said, "What are you doing? You're a stone deity. You can't eat. How will we survive if you eat everything?" And Ketan said, "You nonsense, materialistic person masquerading as a Brahmin. I'm conquered by the devotion of this small boy. I will eat anything he offers. But even if you offer me opulent foodstuffs without any devotion, I don't care to accept it. Because of your offense, this whole village will be wiped out except for your son Madhu." So they tell a tsunami came one time and wiped out the whole village, and only Madhu survived, and his descendants are worshipping the deity there now. So Mahaprabhu used to go there. There's a big stone. I've seen that stone. That's outside. Mahaprabhu lay down, and the Mahaprabhu's imprint, that you can take darshan. They won't let you inside. From outside, you can almost see the form of the deity. One time I went there with Navigenda Swami, and they wouldn't let me in. Maharaj went in, and then I was just circling. It was a very beautiful temple, so I was circling around, ambulating the temple. And then it was such a peaceful place. Maharaj wanted to chant some japa there, so he's walking up the road, and the pujari came and asked for donation. "What about some mahaprasad?" He said, "That's not till noontime." I said, "Must be some balbog prasad." "Oh, balbog prasad you want?" I said, "Any prasad, we're happy to get anything from the Lord." So he came back and he offered me some balbog prasad. He said, no, first to Maharaj. "Hey, are everybody's Maharaj. To me, everybody Maharaj. Huh? Why you're not Maharaj? He's also Maharaj, you're also Maharaj to me." Maharaj heard him. He said, "Came. You said everybody's same, right? So you take him inside and give him darshan." He said, no. He said, "No, you said all is Maharaj. So I'm Maharaj, he's Maharaj. You take him in. Abba, he's Christian, this, that. This is Christian, Hindu Dharma, Christian Dharma. Talking to all this nonsense. No, you told all is same. You take him inside." Unfortunately, I still didn't get darshan. So then Maharaj said, "So this is your religion. This is your dharma. You're saying Hindu dharma. Your Hindu dharma is chamra, skin. That's all." He really got on that poor Brahma's case. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here and bow down to the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's given us Krishna consciousness and given us Rath Yatra and Snan Yatra and all these wonderful festivals. Srila Prabhupada ki.